All right, welcome in everyone to the deep dive. We're going to be taking on a pretty big case today, one that's really important for kind of understanding how like regulatory agencies actually work in practice, right? SEC v. Chenery Corporation. A lot of times you'll see it called Chenery the Second. But yeah, if you've ever like wondered about like how the SEC actually has the power to like, shape what corporations do, well, this case is a great place to start.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, and I think our mission for this deep dive is like we really want to get to the core of, what authority the SEC has to regulate what corporate insiders can do, especially during reorganizations, even when there's like not a specific rule about it. You know what I mean? That's
Yeah.
a and that brings up some pretty fundamental questions about how much flexibility we really want to give to these regulatory bodies and why that still matters, like even today in the legal world, right? We've got a few sources that we're going to be looking at today to kind of help us break this down. Some of them are like excerpts that are really designed for law students, which is great, gives us a nice clear path. And then we've also got a really detailed case brief and a standard legal brief, which are going to let us, dig in a little deeper into some of the finer points.
Okay, cool. So let's start with like, what was the situation that like kicked this whole legal battle off?
All right, so at the heart of it all, we've got the Federal Water Service Corporation. It was a utility holding company, and back in the day, it was going through a big reorganization, and the whole thing was being overseen by the SEC under what's called the Public Utility Holding Company Act, or PUHCA. Now, PUHCA was passed to basically try to prevent some of the financial shenanigans, I guess you could say, that have been going on in the utility industry. So it was kind of like, trying to keep things fair and prevent too much manipulation.
Right, yeah, for sure. So where does like Chenery Corporation fit into this whole picture?
Okay, so Chenery Corporation, they were basically the management team over at Federal Water Service.
Yeah.
And during this whole like SEC supervised reorganization, Chenery and some other, insiders, they started buying up a bunch of the company's preferred stock. And their thinking was that, once the reorganization was done, all this preferred stock could get converted into common stock, which was expected to be a lot more valuable. So they were, basically making a pretty calculated bet on the whole restructuring, a restructuring that they were, in charge of, basically.
Okay, yeah, so it sounds like they were kind of, setting themselves up to profit off of this whole thing, right? So I'm guessing the SEC wasn't too thrilled about that.
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, the SEC ended up rejecting the reorganization plan that they put forward. The SEC's argument was that, the whole stock buying thing by the management, it was basically a breach of their fiduciary duty to the other shareholders. Basically, they were saying, "Hey, you're not acting in the best interests of the people you're supposed to be representing." And so the SEC's first order was like pretty clear cut. Chenery, you got to give up all this stock you bought, and you're only going to get back what you originally paid for it, plus any dividends you got.
Gotcha. Okay, so that was a pretty decisive move, but it sounds like this didn't end there, right? I know there was like a first round in court, Chenery now. What happened there?
Right. So Chenery, they weren't just going to take this lying down. They challenged the SEC's order, and the whole thing ended up going all the way to the Supreme Court. Now, in Chenery tied, the court actually sided with Chenery. But this is a really important point. It wasn't because the court thought the stock purchases were okay. It was more about how the SEC had explained their reasoning for the order.
Interesting.
Yeah, they basically said that the SEC's reasoning was flawed, that they hadn't really shown how those precedents actually applied in this particular case. So it wasn't a win for insider trading so much as it was kind of a slap on the wrist for the SEC, telling them, "Hey, you got to explain yourselves better."
Okay, so basically the Supreme Court was like, look, you might have a point, but you need to like connect the dots better. So then what happened? It went back to the SEC.
Exactly. Back to the drawing board for the SEC. And you know what? They actually came back with a totally different approach. This time, instead of relying on those legal precedents that the court wasn't happy with, they went straight to the source. They based their decision on the Public Utility Holding Company Act itself, like the core principles of policies of the law. They issued the exact same order, meaning, Chenery still had to get rid of that stock. But now their explanation was all about how this was necessary to uphold PUHCA's goal of making sure that all these reorganizations were fair and equitable. So they changed their strategy, focused on the law itself, and that brought us to Chenery the Second.
Okay, so Chenery the Second, that's the one we're really focusing on here. What were the main legal questions that the Supreme Court was looking at in this round?
Right, so there were two big ones. First, could the SEC, you know, as a regulatory agency, make decisions and issue orders based on these kind of broad policy goals that were laid out in a law like PUHEA, even if there wasn't like a specific rule that said you can't do this? And second, was the SEC's order to get rid of the stock even legal under PUHEA's fair and equitable standard?
Big questions. So what did the court say?
They said yes to both. Basically, they said that agencies can definitely use this process called adjudication, which is basically just making decisions in specific cases to apply the big picture policies of a law to, you know, new situations, even if there isn't a super specific rule about it already. But, and this is key, they also said that the agency's reasoning has to be rational. You know, it can't just be arbitrary, and it has to be consistent with the law.
Right, makes sense. Makes sense. So let's talk about the court's reasoning here. Why did they ultimately side with the SEC in this case?
Well, a big part of it was that PUHCA gave the SEC a really broad mandate, right?
Yeah.
Like their job was to make sure that any reorganization under their watch was fair and equitable. And that's like directly from Congress. The SEC argued, and this is where their expertise comes in, that letting insiders buy up stock on the cheap during a reorganization and then, you know, potentially making a huge profit off of it, that created a big conflict of interest. They said that this could really undermine the fairness of the whole restructuring process.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem kind of shady, right? Like the people who are supposed to be making sure everything's fair are the ones benefiting from it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the court agreed. They also addressed Chenery's argument that there was no specific rule against what they were doing. And the court was basically like, yeah, but agencies can't have a rule for everything. Sometimes you got to deal with new situations as they come up.
Yeah, I mean, you can't predict everything, right?
Right, exactly. So in those cases, making decisions on a case-by-case basis, which is what adjudication is, that's a totally legitimate way for an agency to like apply the law to those specific facts.
So it sounds like the SEC's expertise was a really big factor in the court's decision, too.
Oh, absolutely. The court recognized that the SEC knows a lot about these complex reorganizations, and they know where the potential for abuse is. They basically deferred to the SEC's judgment on what was fair and equitable in this specific situation. In fact, Justice Murphy, who wrote the majority opinion, he even said that this was the type of judgment which administrative agencies are best equipped to make.
That's interesting. But I know this wasn't a unanimous decision, right? Justice Jackson had a pretty strong dissent. What was he concerned about?
Yeah, Justice Jackson, he was worried about what he saw as the potential for agencies to overstep their bounds. He was concerned that if you let agencies make these kind of policy decisions without super specific rules in place, it could lead to them acting without clear legal boundaries.
Right. I remember he even used the term conscious lawlessness, which is a pretty strong statement. What did he mean by that?
He felt like the SEC was basically creating new rules after the fact, instead of applying rules that were already there. And he argued that Congress hadn't actually given the SEC the power to do that. So his dissent is a good reminder that we do need clear legal frameworks and that we have to be careful about agencies having too much power. He was worried about fairness and whether an agency should be able to, like, retroactively decide something was wrong just based on a general sense of fairness rather than an actual rule.
Yeah, I see his point. Okay, so the SEC won, but there were still some pretty big concerns raised. This leads us to, I guess, the legacy of this case, which is often called the Chenery Doctrine. Can you explain what that is?
Sure. Basically, the Chenery Doctrine says that when a court is looking at a decision made by an agency, they can only uphold that decision based on the reasons the agency gave when they made it. They can't come up with new reasons later on to try to justify it. And we saw that play out in Chenery II. In the first case, the SEC's reasoning wasn't good enough, so the order was overturned. But then in Chenery II, they gave a much stronger explanation that was tied directly to the law, and that's why it was upheld.
Okay, so it's all about being transparent and accountable.
Exactly. It's a balance, right? Chenery II gives agencies some flexibility to deal with new problems, but the Chenery Doctrine keeps them in check by making sure they're being transparent and justifying their actions. It's also worth noting that this case is seen as a precursor to Chevron deference, which is another big concept in administrative law. Basically, it helps determine how much weight courts should give to an agency's interpretation of a law. And Chenery II is still relevant today in all these debates about how much power agencies should have.
Right, it set a precedent. Okay, so for people who are still wrapping their heads around this, what are some like key takeaways? What do we really need to remember?
Well, first, remember that Chenery II doesn't mean agencies can do whatever they want. They still have to operate within the boundaries of the law. And their decisions have to be based on solid reasoning and a clear connection to the law.
Yeah, it's not a free-for-all.
Nope, not at all.
Yeah.
And second, it's important to understand the difference between the two Chenery cases. Chenery, I wasn't about the SEC being wrong. It was about their reasoning being weak. But in Chenery the second, they fixed that reasoning, and that's why they won.
Okay, so the shift in reasoning is crucial.
Exactly. And another thing, adjudication, which is what we've been talking about, deciding cases. It's a way for agencies to develop policy and interpret laws, but it's not the same as making an actual law. That's what Congress does. Adjudication is about applying existing legal standards to a specific situation. And lastly, the SEC's order in Chenery II did affect things that had already happened, but the court didn't see it as being unfair. They saw it as a way to prevent unfair gains and make sure the reorganization was fair going forward. Oh, and one more thing about Justice Jackson's dissent. His concerns about agencies having too much power without clear rules, that's still a big topic today, especially with things like climate change and new technologies where the rules are still being figured out.
Right. Yeah, it's an ongoing conversation. So to sum it all up, what's the big takeaway from SEC v. Chenery II?
The main point is that it confirmed the SEC's authority to step in and deal with things like insider trading and conflicts of interest during reorganizations, even if there isn't a specific rule against it. But they have to have a good reason, and it has to be based on the law, in this case, the fair and equitable standard from PUHC.
Awesome. I think that's a really helpful way to understand it. So for all of you listening, here's a final thought. Given that Chenery II allows agencies some flexibility in how they interpret laws, how do you think that balances with the need for clear rules? What are the pros and cons of letting agencies develop policy this way, especially in areas that are changing really quickly? It's something to think about. Thanks for joining us today for The Deep Dive.